Harry Potter is enrolled in a photography class to learn how to take better dick pics, and his professor is Draco Malfoy?
Jamie Lannister and Brienne of Tarth are directing a Titanic exhibit, and Jon Snow is the security guard?
Tony Stark is producing a dating show on a tropical island, and all the Avengers are the contestants.
There is no way stories like this exist.
And there is no way three best friends would read them and put their reactions out for the world to hear.
I mean, no one would do that, right? Guys?
I'm Allie Lefever.
I'm Lindsay Rush.
I'm Danny Chapman.
And this is Fangasm.
The following podcast is rated H for horny. It contains adult themes, sexually explicit content, strong language, and characters we don't own.
Welcome back to Fangasm. I'm Allie.
I'm Danny.
I'm Lindsay. This is season 28, episode 2, Nutbusters, Ghostbusters. Or Danny, I saw Marco say Gutbusters, and I thought that was pretty smart too.
Marco, when I was playing him the video of the announcement, was like, are you guys saying Gutbusters? He was like, because that's disgusting. You know, like, giving it so hard, we're going to bust your gut. No. Ew.
No, we're just going to bust your nut.
He couldn't see it. So he was just hearing it. So.
Wait, is that how you use the term busting a gut? Because we use it differently in my family.
No.
Like, we're laughing really hard.
He was just, he's disgusting. Oh. So.
No, but Allie, I feel like a gut buster is like a dirty way to say like it's in so deep that you're busting the gut.
It reached your guts.
But then like if you... In the Bergoglio family chat, if they're like busting guts, that's not what they mean. Don't worry.
Let's hope not.
You guys aren't using it wrong.
Matt really busted my gut, everybody, and I think you should know about it.
Gross. That's how Farrah's here.
He busted my gut by combining ketchup and ranch in my Caesar salad.
Wait a minute. This is the perfect segue.
Yes. What did Matt eat?
Okay, so.
Yes. No, chef.
Dina and I went to a bagel making class / drag show that we'll tell you about in a second, but we were able to make our own dough there, and we're told to just bring it home and, you know, go hog wild and make bagels.
Yeah.
No instruction, no idea what we were doing. Anyway, so I was like frantically texting Danny yesterday as I was making my bagels. So I made them. They just look like, juicy little buttholes. That I had to throw in the oven.
Busted guts.
They were just, they were bleak. So, but I had put spinach and feta in it and then sprinkled sea salt on top. And so I made these bagels and I make three.
Is that what you were doing yesterday when we were on the phone that was so loud?
We're trying to work on a client project.
Casual business brainstorm while making bagels. It was like the loudest thing I've ever heard.
Some people go for walks. Some people make bagels.
So stressed because I was trying to make these bagels thinking it would just be a really simple process. I didn't realize they bake them. I thought you just boiled the bagels. So I had just these sopping wet bagels.
How long did you boil them for?
I boiled them for like 7 minutes because I was like, maybe I gotta boil them longer. I don't know.
These don't look like bagels.
They're just wet. Anyway, so I pull out these bagels. And it's, again, let me remind you of the ingredients. Spinach, feta, and sea salt. And I look over, and Matt has covered his in syrup.
Syrup! No!
He drenched.
Did he know spinach, feta, and sea salt?
He grabs the syrup, and he's like, huh? And I go, oh, no, don't put syrup. These are, first of all, who would put a syrup on a bagel?
Any flavor bagel doesn't matter.
Any flavor. And then I go.
Is he an alien? Do we need to get our PKEs and put them in a box? What is happening?
Guys, something is wrong with him. I don't understand. And so I go, turn my back because I go, oh, no, it's spinach feta. And he goes, oh, okay. And then I turn my back to make my bagel. And I turn back around and he has just slathered syrup all over the bagel. So, and he's like, oh, this is really good. And he thinks it's good. That's what I don't understand. It's so upsetting.
Yeah, that's the upsetting part.
Was it a cut open bagel that he put like a waffle? Like he put syrup on it? Or was it the whole bagel that he put it on like a cake?
Oh, no. It was the whole intact bagel. Like he iced it like a cake. And then he was just...
And did he eat it with a fork and knife or a hand?
He was picking it up with his hands and like biting into this sopping wet...
So it was like syrup instead of schmear was his like solution.
So anyway, that was a great surprising segue, Danny. So I could tell you that mortifying story.
Oh, it is round and flat. Let me put syrup on it. Like,
wow.
You got to run, Allie.
I know. It's rough.
Is it too late to get out?
Danny, I think you should tell our listeners about our bagels and drag experience, and especially the key moment that we were dying laughing over.
Well, the reason why you don't know how to make a bagel is because he started the class being like, this isn't really about making anything. It's about having fun.
We took that seriously.
And then during the part where you were baking the bagel, you were watching a drag queen dance. And so I think you totally missed the baking part because you were looking at her splitter cream cheese. You know what I mean? So the premise, so Allie texts me, do you want to go to bagel and drag making class? And I'm like, are there still tickets? Clearly, this has to be the hottest event in the entire city. Absolutely. Does everybody know about this? Like, let's get in there.
It's like two passions of yours, Danny.
I'm like, did somebody read my diary and have they made this experience? Because clearly they have.
All that's missing is crab rangoon, frankly.
Which, like, we had all the ingredients.
We really
so
did.
It could have been a salmon rangoon because we made salmon cream cheese. It was so good. So we get there and there's 14 people, and it's half sold and in this small little test kitchen.
Oh.
And so the guy, he introduces himself and he introduces the drag queen and he's like giving the spiel and we're making the stuff and he gives us a piece of paper and it's like the Great British Bake Off technical challenge where it's just the ingredients and it's like make dough. Like, so we're – some is in grams, some is in cups. We don't have Cosmo. You know, it was like very much a drag show that also you made bagels at.
There was no specific measurement utensils. It was like a teaspoon and it's just teaspoons from your drawer. There was just no – oh, my gosh.
I don't think he thought anybody was actually going to make dough to go. So like our three fat asses, the Allie and our – there were four of us, our friend Jeff and Coco and Travis.
Also, the fact that I think we immediately regretted agreeing to make dough. Like, all of a sudden we realized, like, oh, wow, this is much more work and much more complicated than we thought. But now we're in it and we have to make the dough. It's half made.
Baking is not casual.
And we also, like, all wanted to catch up with each other, but we're so extroverted and type A that we're like, well, we got to make the dough. So Allie's like, well, shoot, we don't have ingredients. We don't have utensils. What's the guy's name again? Listeners, say it with us. You also can't remember. It's Jason.
His name is Jason. And I asked, dead serious, I asked Danny, what's his name again?
Oh my gosh, it's perfect.
And Danny looks at me. He just stared at me and didn't respond. And I go, no. No. His name is, you cannot be fucking serious. His name is Jason.
His cannot be Jason.
Never to be remembered again.
I feel like it's the type of name that he probably like wrote it down and it disappeared. Because that's just like what happens with the name Jason.
Yeah.
That you're like, wait.
Never mind.
What is his name? He has no identity.
wait, you guys, give me 1 second. Let me go get the cookbook that we walked away with. Hold on.
You guys got a cookbook
hold
too?
On,
oh,
hold
right.
On.
You sent me the cover.
He was giving them away.
For free?
Yeah.
Is this how I should promote my book?
Via bagels and drag making class?
Drag and bagels?
Definitely. Or so you could do sardines, since we're to sardine making class.
That's perfect.
And the best part that I loved is that, like, the poor drag queen named Gidget was there, just, like, kind of standing there. And then, like, sometimes also Jason would be like, hey, can you chop? So, like, poor Gidget, who is, like, beautiful, is, like, chopping scallions. You know?
In the midst of, like, in between sets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So I keep trying to think of, like, I wish Gidget would have had a, like, I need the bagel theme to be stronger throughout this whole thing.
A million percent.
Yeah, we really need to turn up the heat.
Yeah. It was also so sexual. Wait, Allie, do you want to show the cover?
Yeah, I have to. Just so you can get a feel for who Jason is.
And what's the title of it?
It's called Get Back in the Kitchen, Bitches. We're not done yet. It feels like this is the sequel to the first book.
We might have missed the original, which probably had the bagel instructions.
Oh, right. Because it probably was Get in the Kitchen, and then this is the much awaited sequel, Get Back in the Kitchen, Bitches.
Yeah, but I wanted to just read a couple of the recipes.
Please.
One is called Lick Me Linguini.
Ooh. Oh.
And he gives it a rating of dumbass.
What's the scale?
Which I think means you can be an idiot. I don't know what the scale is. It's like, it's so easy to make that a dumbass could make it. I don't really know.
Sure.
Hold on. There was a couple other funny. This one's called Braise My Butt Lamb. Also a rating of dumbass.
What's a hard one?
Yeah, what's a hard one?
Let's see. Oh, God. They all seem to have the dumbass rating.
It's all for dumbasses.
Mother Clucker Meatloaf has a dumbass rating.
Meatloaf isn't easy, is it? Or is it?
I think you just throw it together. Yeah.
Break my chops, pimp me out pasta. Oh, wait, hold on. The rating for pimp me out pasta is the little chef that could.
Oh. Ooh.
I don't know what this range is.
This rating scale is so confusing. I like it.
A graduate of the CIA, the little chef that could.
Oh, wait, here's another rating. This this rating is for the chill out chump chicken. The rating is, are you fucking kidding me?
So do we think that that, do we think that that is...
Impossible. No one ever could and never ever will be able to make chill out chomp chicken.
Oh, man. So, you know...
It's never been done. Unless you're doing it while performing a drag routine.
Ugh. So there's two shows. The first show... Gidgets just flopping around the floor while the bagels are baking and Allie has no idea what's going on. The second show is after the bagels and all the food is done. So I'll post this video when this airs. But there's Allie. I mean, the bagels are fresh and hot out the kitchen, freshly smeared. So Gidget is again dancing, but this time we're all eating bagels.
She's dancing to Dua Lupe.
Lipa.
Dua Lipa.
Why am I saying it wrong?
Grandma. Nana, how did you get on this?
Wait,
Dua Peep.
Why can't I say your name?
It's like you did a spoonerism. Dua Lipa.
Dua Lupe.
Stop.
Lipa. Lipa's the last.
Dupalini.
What was his rating? Are you fucking kidding me?
So Gidget's dancing to Dua Lipa, and we're just wolfing our smeared bagels.
With salmon cream cheese. Oh, the indignity.
It's so small, like the setting is, and there's so few people that, like, you're not just watching a drag show. Like, you are in it. You have to be.
You're like an extra.
You have to be giving dollars. You have to be having the best time, but you also want to eat that bagel. So,
oh my gosh.
Would highly recommend. It's called Get in the Kitchen in Chicago. We'll post Gidget's Insta so you can follow her. Oh. The next show will for sure be sold out after this promo.
For sure, with this promo. Oh my God. I'm so giggly.
Oh my gosh. That was wonderful to me. I loved that.
Enjoy.
That was chaotic and perfect.
Yeah. Do we have any announcements? The movie came out. I have not gotten to see the new Ghostbusters. So,
me either.
Neither. But I saw the trailer the other day and I was like, ooh.
Which was sexual.
It was.
I mean, Paul Rudd is like, I love busting nuts. And I was like, oh my God.
I know. Or like, we already made that joke, but okay.
Cute.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened last episode?
I had a segue. It was going to be from the book, Get Back in the Kitchen, Bitches. That book maybe was sold at the bookstore that the entity was occupying when the Ghostbusters had to come. That he, like, destroyed.
Maybe that's the artifact.
The artifact isn't a ball. It's a hard bagel that was covered in syrup.
Overbaked.
It's a hard bagel, and inside is the first version of the first edition of this book.
Oh, yeah. So basically, they got him back to the place, back to the lab, I guess. And there was something about something shrinking. What was that? They were developing a new weapon. Remember? It shrunk stuff. No, guys?
Was it in the car?
They were teasing because they were like, you don't need to shrink anything to one of them. But the artifact, basically, they're just going to study this artifact now is where it ended up.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out what this bowling ball, we called it a magic eight ball, like what it is.
Yeah.
Registers as a class 5. So that's...
out of the 6.9 scale, right?
Yes.
Great.
Okay. So actually, I think the atomizer is the shrinker unrelated to the ball. It's just something that Ray was working on.
Okay.
Oh, right. He was like, oh, that's what that was what the package was. He got all the stuff to build an atomizer. Got it.
Yeah.
Before the call. Yeah. Okay.
It's Danny.
It's you, Dan.
Should we do it?
Yeah.
If you're getting strange in the neighborhood. Ray and Aegon took the Golden Sphere to the lab to begin testing and research. Ray placed it carefully in the middle of Aegon's work table. As he removed his black rubber gloves, he chuckled lightly. Iggy, would it kill you to show Janine a little emotion? I mean, it's obvious that she's crazy about you. Aegon raised an eyebrow. I simply do not want to encourage inappropriate behavior. He then began looking through the reference book he had taken from the shelf. Dumbass is how you do this.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Winston joined them. Ray, do you think Iggy should be wearing gloves too? You had yours on. I like to wear them out in the field, but I'm not sure we need anything now. It doesn't look dangerous. Winston's eyes narrowed. That's usually when they are. Aegon lightly touched the sphere, noticing some writing etched onto it. It seems like there's some sort of writing here.
Jason was here.
Etched in salmon cream cheese.
He bent down and inspected it more closely. It appears to be in Latin. Ooh. Jason, ecce Romani.
I couldn't think of anything Latin.
He bent down and inspected it more closely. It appears to be in Latin. He grabbed a notepad and pencil, writing out the words. He then walked to the bookshelf and retrieved another book. He looked up at Ray and Winston. This is going to take a while to translate. It almost looks to be a combination of Latin and something else. I'm not sure yet what.
Pig Latin?
Sure. I'll help by looking up the history of this thing. See if there are any clues to lead us in the right direction, Ray suggested. I'll leave that to you two then. Winston said as he waved and left the lab. I'm out of here. Fuck translating.
Sounds like you guys got it. Summer Fridays, am I right?
Meanwhile, Janine was at her desk trying to get some work done. However, Peter was relentlessly teasing her. Come on, Red, give me a hint. What's this chick like? I'll help hook you up with Spangs. She sighed, looking up at Peter, who was perched on the corner of her desk. What do you want to know? What's she look like besides blonde, you know? Nice figure, long legs, big tits. Janine became angry. Is that all you care about? How attractive a woman is on the outside? What about her brains, her dreams, her goals? Don't you want to know how to spell something that has more than four letters in it? Peter's eyes narrowed. Fine. Does she have a job? Does she like golf or tennis? How does she feel about dancing? Yeah, how do her tits move while she's dancing?
How does she feel about dancing while people are making bagels around her?
Janine smiled. She works part-time as a hostess at an upscale bistro. She's also studying business management. She plays racquetball with me and Monica. That's how I know her. And yeah, she loves to dance, especially karaoke.
Everyone's favorite type of dancing.
I'm picturing the karaoke is happening and the lyrics are up and she's just like, pataboorang. She's tap dancing to the karaoke track.
Just stag leaps.
She's in a top hat and tights. Ooh, I love this type of dance.
Oh, it's Dua Lipa.
It's Dua Leapy.
I could not put it together in my brain.
It's impossible.
Allie, don't you remember the TikTok trend when they would have people jumping over puddles? They'd be like, I can't get over it. And they would go, Dua Lipa. Oh. And then someone would jump over it just as they played a little bit of it. That'll help you, the wordplay.
Dua Lipa. Okay, good. It's locked in there. Steel trap.
Hey, is a jump a puddle come over out with a new thing? Thanks, Janine, Peter said as he walked over to her desk. You better treat her nice, she yelled from over the filing cabinet. Ooh. Of course, you're talking at Dr. Love here, he yelled back. Janine just smiled as she rolled her eyes. A few hours later, Ray and Aegon were still poring over books in the lab. Finally, Ray looked over at Aegon. Got anything yet? I have translated part of it, but there are still some parts that aren't. Aegon removed his glasses and rubbed his eyes. He then put his glasses back on. I need to take a break. Perhaps take something for this headache. Yeah, sure, I haven't had any luck yet either. There's not a lot of info on spheres down through history. Aegon went out to the kitchen for a glass of water and pain relievers. He then headed downstairs, thinking some fresh air would also help. He stopped at Janine's desk. I'm going for a short walk. I'll be back momentarily. She smiled at him. Sure, just don't go too far, though, in case a call comes in. She batted her eyelashes.
I like this Jersey accent you've given her.
Janine has a little Jersey accent.
I like it.
It sounds good.
It is historically accurate.
Also, I'm so intrigued that he said that there's not a lot of spheres down through history. Seems like an odd category, just like famous spheres.
We had Atlas carrying the globe. That was one. And then...
And then after that, it's just cubes and trapezoids.
Cylinder City.
Not a lot of spheres. Pyramids really took over and spheres were toast.
You smiled back before leaving the building. Damn, he's got such a nice ass. I'd love to go on a walk with him straight to my place. Ooh. Is that an internal thought or an external thought? Egon stopped abruptly, turning back around to look at Janine. Sensing his eyes on her, Janine looked up confused. What, need a jacket? Egon's expression was one of confusion as well. No, I thought, didn't you just say something? Oh.
He can hear thoughts because of the sphere?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Need a jacket? Said Janine. No, I meant after you advised me not to walk very far, said Egon. No. Janine's expression was sincerely confused. Egon noticed that there was no hint of a blush or embarrassment of any kind. Janine looked genuinely confused and innocent. I'm sorry, I just need some fresh air. He then quickly exited the firehouse. Janine shook her head and resumed her work. As Egon strolled through Central Park, his mind wandered back to what he thought he heard earlier. I could have sworn Janine said that, he thought to himself. Perhaps it is my own inner thoughts intruding and subconsciously I'm displaying them as Janine's thoughts. But that would mean, deep down, I want to have intimate relations with her? That thought made him stop in his tracks. Egon has known for a while that his feelings for Janine have grown into something more than just friends or employee-employer. He just wasn't confident enough to tell her or even ask her out. He shook his head and continued his walk. A young mother with her baby in a stroller passed by him, smiling politely. Egon returned a smile, nodding slightly. My goodness, what a handsome and polite guy. Didn't think there were any nice guys left in New York.
Bar's low.
Egon stopped and glanced back over his shoulder. The woman continued strolling her baby, never looking back. He shook his head again, resuming his walk. Is it possible I am extremely fatigued? He thought to himself. Meanwhile, back at the firehouse, Janine had been dealing with one slight disaster after another. First, she answered the phone twice just to realize one was a prank call. The second was the wrong number. Then the copy machine jammed. Once she was finally able to clear out the paper jam, the display showed the machine needed more toner. She looked in the supply closet to see that they had one left. She took it and switched out the old one. She went upstairs to wash her hands because a bit of ink had spilled onto her hands. She came back downstairs and sat down at her desk. As she was starting to resume her work, Peter yelled out of the filing cabinet, Hey, Red, have you actually gotten any work done? He chuckled slightly. More than you, she replied, her voice filled with annoyance. I feel like I want to lean into it even harder and go like full Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors. But anyway.
Please do. Who's stopping you?
More than you. That was a little Christopher Walken. More than you.
Janine sounds like Christopher Walken.
Walk, Buster.
Oh, Egon.
I want to touch that tush.
Is that sphere a cowbell?
More sphere cowbell.
The only thing. The only cure.
More sphere bell.
I saw an interview where they were talking about Christopher Walken on the set of Dune and like how all the young actors were afraid to talk to him. But Florence Pugh, who's in the most scenes with him, was like, I mean, we talked a bunch. And they were like, what about? She was like, I mean, after a pretty intense scene, he looked over at me and was like, so you like donuts? She was like, yeah, I make my own donuts.
Like, oh my gosh.
You know, all this hype to work with Christopher Walken. He's like, yeah, everybody likes donuts, Chris.
Yeah.
And then he just wants to talk.
It's a great unifier.
Maybe he's good at making bagels too, probably.
Definitely.
Dumbass.
Wonder what he would think about Matt's donut bagel hybrid.
Maybe Matt thought it was a donut. Because that makes sense.
You don't put syrup on donuts either, you guys. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you don't. I'm not going to explain his him away.
We can't.
That's why I love him.
I would only explain him away if I could. Then, after a few minutes of working on some of the notes from their last bust, the computer suddenly crashed. Janine slammed her fist down on the desktop. Son of a bitch! Without thinking, she stood up abruptly, grasped the edge of the desk, and picked it up off the floor. She then threw it halfway across the room.
Whoa.
Peter quickly jumped up to his feet and ran to where Janine's desk once was. What the? Winston and Ray rushed downstairs to see what all the commotion was about. They all looked at Janine. She was as stunned as they were. Her eyes were wide in shock and her mouth open. Peter looked at her and grinned. Damn, PMS is a bitch, huh?
Oh.
So now she's got super strength? What is happening to the whole team? The sphere is crazy.
I am so sorry, Dr. V, she apologized. I have no idea what just happened. Wow, Janine, how is this possible? Yeah, earlier you couldn't lift a box. Now you can lift a desk? Winston said, shocked. And you didn't just lift it. You threw it, Ray added.
I'm now just picturing Janine to look like Christopher Walken in a red updo. Just a red bouffant.
As I'm sure everybody was.
Yeah. Way to say what's on everyone's mind, though. I love that.
State the obvious.
Yeah. Tits out. Egon entered the firehouse. He saw everyone gathered around Janine's work area. As he walked up, he noticed the remains of her desk lying across the room. What happened? He asked, but he wasn't sure he really wanted to know. Janine walked up to him. I was trying to get some work done, and a few things happened that got me a little worked up. Then my computer crashed in the middle. I can't do this without Christopher. I'm so sorry. Then my computer crashed in the middle of typing up some notes. I got really mad. Next thing I know, I'm picking up the desk and I'm throwing it.
There I was, picking up my desk. It flew out of my hands. I was like, how did that get out of my hands? It wasn't me. I didn't do it.
And that, Judge Judy, is why I'm not filing the claim against you. I've heard people can get superhuman strength during moments of duress, Winston pointed out. I hardly think Janine's under stress like that, Egon replied. Not really, I don't think, she replied, and then went to the utility closet to get a broom and dustpan. She began to sweep up the glass and the broken pieces of her computer. The others chipped in, and soon the mess had been cleaned up. Ray and Winston went to the basement lab to retrieve an extra desk that they had stored there. Egon took the hard drive from the computer to repair and put it inside another computer shell. Peter was busy hooking the phone back up. Luckily, it had only been disconnected during the incident and not actually damaged.
Not my ghost phone!
Soon, Janine's work area was back and good as new. Peter gave her a devilish grin as she sat back down. Okay, now see if you can keep this one intact for the rest of the day. She looked back at him, her face clearly showing signs of confusion and fear. Peter, I'm really scared. I don't know what happened.
Peter.
He placed a comforting hand on her shoulder. Don't worry about it. You've been under a lot of stress lately. Sometimes it doesn't take much to tip a person's nerve over the edge. But I can't physically do that.
You guys in fourth grade, I think I was just trying to be a show off or be cool. We had a substitute teacher and I, for some reason, kicked my desk over and I got banned from both of my recesses and I got in trouble. I had to stay in the library. I think I was trying to be cool and show off. Yeah.
Like you kicked it from standing underneath it, like kicked it so it like fell on its side?
Yeah, like I was sitting on my chair and I just punted it forward with my feet and it kicked over and all my stuff went flying. I don't know why I did that.
Were you in the front row, you dork? Because it would have, other you had to have been.
I was close to the front, for sure. I was a front row kid.
But I'm like, otherwise it would have hit like a student.
No, it was. I kicked it forward and yeah, I think I was in the front.
Oh, there's enough space. There's probably enough space.
But I remember just being like a really impulsive kid thought of like, I'm going to do this and it's going to get a laugh. And it did get a laugh. But then I had to stay inside for both recesses.
But also those desks are so small, right?
Yeah, they're little.
If you had preschool.
It wasn't like a corporate desk with like a mahogany desk.
Like Janine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just remember being like just an impulsive kid and being like, why'd I do that? Like I wasn't really a troublemaker. I don't know why I did that.
Oh man, no recess?
No recess. Two of them.
The new me. But I can't physically do that, said Janine. Ray came downstairs and leaned over the banister. Hey, Iggy wants you two up in the lab. He then ran back upstairs. Peter and Janine exchanged confused looks before joining Ray and Egon in the lab. Winston was there too. Egon addressed them. Raymond and I have found some interesting information. The sphere seems to hold a certain level of PKE energy, leading us to believe it has a paranormal origin. After researching, I believe this is an object that was created for the purpose of dispersing energy out to other objects, even other people. To what end? Winston asked. If it was created by some entity, then why? I think I can answer that, Ray said. The ghost we trapped earlier matches the description I found of an entity that roams around looking for sources of power. Energy, if you will. Our guy was looking for this thing to ramp up the power he already had, Peter asked. Yes, Egon replied. But I don't think he was the entity that actually created it. He simply knew of its existence and had previously tracked down its location. And we showed up and caught him before he could get to it, Winston added. Exactly, Ray said. But what is it? And what do we do with it? And who created it? And why? Janine asked, getting frustrated. Tune in tomorrow. These are the days of our lives, Peter teased. I'm serious, Peter, Janine fumed.
Peter!
Theta. Okay, don't throw another desk, for goodness sakes, Peter replied. I'm scared, guys. I'm really scared. She began tearing up. Don't be scared, Janine. I think there's a reasonable explanation, Ray reassured her. I think it's because you interacted with the sphere when you touched it earlier. That must have been enough for it to transfer some of its energy. But you touched it too, Winston pointed out. I was wearing my gloves at the time, Ray replied. Peter thought for a moment. Hold on. I touched it. Then he glanced at Egon. Spangs, you did too. You've been touching it while you've been doing research. Egon nodded. Yes, I have. But I haven't noticed any superhuman strength. No, me neither, Peter added.
Notice something else.
What if everybody has different reactions? Winston suggested. Maybe there's different reactions for different people. A good suggestion, Egon replied. He said nothing about his experiences from earlier. Honestly, he wasn't sure if it was a reaction from the sphere or just overworked. Until he knew for sure, he decided to remain silent on the matter. Ray looked at Peter, then Egon. I suggest until we know more about this thing or until you two start having reactions, everybody wears gloves if you're going to interact with this thing, just to be sure. And everyone agreed.
It's like it's so pervy, you have to wear a condom. Mm. That's what this is. He's saying use protection.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
The PK is too high.
It's syphilis. You know, what's a venereal?
What's a syphilis?
What's a kratom?
Je ne sais pas. Yeah, it's contagious.
If you guys touched the sphere, what reactions do you think you guys would have?
Well, it's high in PKE, which is horniness, right? Pervy kinetic energy.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think I would just start pole dancing on anything that I could.
If you see a pole, you're dancing on it.
Semi-Polish. Yeah. I'm dancing. I'm grinding.
Including people who are Polish.
Yeah. My reaction is grinding.
Yeah.
Polarizing.
Yeah. Polish sausages for sure.
Polish people. Ellie, what's yours?
Ooh. I don't know. I mean, God, maybe I just would.
I know what yours would be, Allie.
Oh, tell me.
I think yours would be that you would be talking dirty to everybody. You know, because you talk all day and like talk to a lot of people, but you just would not be able to help it. That you would just be like, everything would be sexy and euphemisms and just like.
Just dick jokes.
Oh, yeah. You like that? And the client's like, yeah, I like the creative.
Like, how much do you like it, Daddy?
Yeah. Tell me again.
I want to hear how much you like it.
Yeah.
Deity.
I'm going to go nude x-ray vision. Mm. Like, I'm not going to see bones. I'm just boners. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. That's even better.
Whoa.
Boner vision.
Yeah.
That's good. I wonder what these other two are going to have.
It'd be like seeing John Hamm's everywhere.
Or John Nam's, you know? It's like underwhelming.
John Turkey's. Everyone knows Hamm is... Ham is the superior meat. Wait, didn't we talk about What Women Want last week, that film?
Yeah.
That's where he can hear everyone's thoughts. It's what Egon has.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, he's got What Women Want-itis.
Yeah, it's weird, but we weren't talking about it.
But why did we bring it up?
We were talking about Allie's friend who wanted her for her fame. Because I don't remember a building in Chicago, but you knew someone who was in that film, but we weren't talking about—
Yeah, the daughter. But why did it get brought up? That's so random. It's coming up again.
But now it works.
I know.
Winston gave a reassuring smile. Just relax and do your work. If you start feeling the urge to throw something, pick up Pete and give him a good toss. And he winked playfully at her, and then Peter. Peter gave Winston a mock smile. Yeah, right. Keep it up and I'll have her throw Ecto out. Janine laughed nervously before leaving the lab. She cautiously sat back down at her desk and took a deep breath. After relaxing for a moment, she grabbed some file folders and stood up to put them away in the closet. Peter was walking downstairs and glanced at Janine. He couldn't believe what he saw. He was looking at Janine, and it seemed as if her clothes had become transparent.
Boner vision!
I got it!
Oh my gosh, it's sex ray vision. Sex ray, or triple x-ray vision.
Triple x-ray vision.
Well, that's the episode title.
And Ray. Oh, it's Peter, not Ray. I wish it was Ray had that vision.
Oh! I love it. Maybe it like subconsciously when I was scanning, but I...
No.
That was fresh.
No, Danny, that was a mind meld.
Oh my gosh.
I believe you. I trust you. You have integrity.
Thank you. He was looking at Janina. It seemed as if her clothes had become transparent. He was looking at her naked backside. He stopped and quickly closed his eyes. He rubbed them and shook his head. When he opened his eyes, he dared another look at Janine. She had sat back down at her desk. Her blouse seemed transparent, but he was only able to see her bra this time. It was a white lacy bra. He can only see through one layer of anything.
That's pretty weird.
Also, Janine is going commando. He then noticed if he had stared long enough and focused, her bra was beginning to fade. Afraid he'd see something that would change how he looked at his secretary, whom he thought of as a little sister, he again closed his eyes, rubbing them fiercely. He's going to see her nipple piercings.
Her Kermit the Frog tattoo.
I was going to say, like a sun around a navel.
Not my little sister employee.
No.
Dr. V, are you okay? Peter opened his eyes again. Thankfully, everything was back to normal. Yeah, just I had something in my eyes. I think I got it. He smiled as he walked to his desk. He sat down and took a breath. Then a smile slowly crept across his face. This could be a good thing, he thought to himself. A very good thing. The end of the chapter.
Do you think he meant thong, not thing? This could be a very good thong. Autocorrect.
What did I Allie. Go? Why did I fade out? What happened? What did I just
We can see your Allie, you're naked.
No, I have six bras on. So you can only see to me.
What did you just do? You snapped in it.
But why does it only do it once?
That was wild.
When the episode ends, check your underpants. Is your PKE rating high or low? Oof, ladies.
Hi. Hi, hi, hi. I really like that Iggy is getting a little insight into Jeannie's mind. I think it's really cute that his superpower is being able to, it sounds like it's being able to read minds. So I like that that is going to like intensify the flirting between them. And I just think this is so fun. X-ray vision, triple X-ray vision, strength, and this is what a hoot. This is going to make for so many good shenanigans for the rest of the story.
Allie, did you call him Iggy?
Yeah, he said Iggy.
Yeah, that was a little pet name for Egon.
Oh, cute, cute, cute.
We're good friends, so, you know, that's what I call him. And you might still go by Egon, but...
Eggs, it's fine. I know they called him Spangs, but I missed Iggy.
Iggy Azaleo? What other names can I jack up?
Oh, mine's high as well, except for the fact that I feel like Janine got the worst superpower. I mean, it's cool to be really strong, but I feel like the other guy's is like very cool. Hearing thoughts and X-ray vision.
Well, theirs could get stressful really quickly though. Like hers, at least.
She can control it.
Function.
I don't know. Tell that to the Incredible Hulk.
That's true. Well, I mean.
Nobody thinks about the Incredible Hulk's feelings.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about this. Nobody talks about how spheres aren't in the history books.
Lindsay, I love that you're like not so useful, like actually lifting heavy stuff in like self-defense. And you're like, I'd rather see some tits.
Nah. Show me some boxer briefs. Danny, where's your PKE?
So I think I'm always impressed with writers and their ability to capture dialogue and like have it feel the rhythm, and Love Busters has PKE metered that dialogue into the box. Just, I love how playful they are. You know, it's like, oh, throw that over there. And just the voice of Christopher Walken really coming to life. I love the horny elements. Like, I'd love to think about the thing that made the sphere and was like, I will possess this sphere with horny powers. You know?
Yeah.
To global domination.
Do you think they had to like spooge into the sphere? That's how they activated it, jactivated it.
Definitely.
Whactivated it.
Spherical jerk.
And now the ceremonial ejaculation.
That's what how they have to like put the power back in is a spherical jerk.
Maybe that's how it's closed together. Mm. One little, you know, like a little smear of spunk.
Splooge.
Fusing it together.
Cemented it closed or syrup.
Uh-huh. Oh, crazy.
My guess would be syrup.
When in doubt.
Sticky. It's hard to open those containers when syrup gets around the room.
I forget, like, I don't feel like I have syrup readily accessible in my home, but Farrah probably can have, it's because you have a little eater, right? Or does you guys just have syrup?
We just always have syrup, yeah. Huh. Syrup feels like a staple to me.
I'm just thinking of, like, grabbing it. I mean, we have it, yeah. But, like, it's not like at the forefront of my mind to be like, oh, let's grab the syrup.
Well, you've never met a mind like Matt's before.
That's true. I would, you know what? That would be a curse is being inside of his head in the kitchen.
I've been in too close of proximity to that mind for too many years. I don't want to go any deeper.
I want out.
I want to hear what he's thinking, see him naked, and then I want to throw him to another area code.
Yeah. Most I think, remarkable part is that he cannot be derailed. Like, you cannot shame him out of his decisions. You'll go like, oh, that's disgusting. And he'll just look at you, go, okay. And then he'll just like you, Danny, it's like the folding of those pamphlets where he's like, yeah, okay, I hear you. And then he's just slopping syrup on it anyway.
Gotta do it.
Yeah.
My favorite part is that he'll never hear any of this.
He won't.
This is a diary.
We could just roast him for the next 20 minutes.
It's the safest place.
Yeah.
The one place we know his mind will never go.
Well, tune in tomorrow. These are the days of our lives. And yeah, what a treat. Love Busters. Amazing writing.
This is great.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, guys.
Bye, Gut Busters.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.
For an extra dose of bonkers entertainment, join our Patreon where you can access hundreds of hours of unreleased content and bonus episodes featuring your favorite fandoms, plus the ones we'd never dare to read on the pod. Head to patreon.com/fangasm to get in on the action.
For a regular hookup, make sure to subscribe to the show everywhere you listen. And if we've left you satisfied, ew, leave a 5-star review or higher.
For updates, merch, or to submit a story, visit fangasmpodcast.com. And thanks to thousands of other listeners, the fun never sleeps over on our private Facebook group, The Fanny Pack. Click the link in the show notes to join. Once you're in, check out the 20-plus listener-led groups that cover everything from pets to pot to pen pals.